2024 December Semi-Annual Training. Week 13. Day 2. Morning Nourishment. Psalms 2:7-8. You are my son, today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give the nations as your inheritance and the limits of the earth as your possession. Hebrews 1:6. And when he brings again the firstborn into the inhabited earth, he says, and let all the angels of God worship him. Psalm 2:7-9 is the declaration of Christ. This word was quoted by the Apostle Paul in Acts 13:33, indicating that Psalm 2:7 refers to Christ's resurrection. After being cut off, crucified, Christ, God's anointed one, was resurrected to be begotten in his humanity as the firstborn Son of God. Through the same resurrection, all his believers were born with him to be his many brothers, the many sons of God. If it were not for Paul, I do not think that we would be able to see that Psalm 2 speaks of the resurrection of Christ. Paul was able to see the Lord's resurrection in the word, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." Paul applied the word today to the day of the Lord's resurrection. This means that Christ's resurrection was his birth as the firstborn Son of God. Jesus, the Son of Man, was born to be the Son of God through being raised up from the dead. Therefore, God's raising up of Jesus from the dead was his begetting of him to be his firstborn Son. We need to realize that the Lord's resurrection was his birth. This is a crucial matter. Today's reading. In his incarnation, Christ came as the seed of David according to the flesh. In the Bible, the word flesh is not a positive word. Nevertheless, the Gospel of John declares that the Word became flesh. The Gospel of God concerns the Son of God who became flesh, who became the seed of a man according to the flesh. In Romans we see that this flesh has been designated the Son of God. Through this designation, the Christ who was already the Son of God before his incarnation became the Son of God in a new way. Before his incarnation he was the Son of God only with divinity. But now, through his resurrection, he has been designated the Son of God both with divinity and in humanity. If Christ had never put on human nature, there would have been no need for him to be designated the Son of God, for in his divinity he was already the Son of God, even from eternity. God sent his Son in the likeness of the flesh of sin. This indicates that Christ did not have the sinfulness of the flesh, he had only the likeness of the flesh of sin. In this respect he was like the bronze serpent lifted up on a pole in the wilderness. The bronze serpent had the form of a serpent, but it did not have the poisonous nature of a serpent. Because Christ, the Son of God, had clothed himself with the flesh, he needed his human nature to be designated the Son of God in power by resurrection. Death in Adam is terrible. The death of Christ, however, is wonderful. This is because his death terminated all the negative things and opened the way for resurrection. Through resurrection, Christ was transfigured and designated the Son of God. Since Christ was already the Son of God, how could there have been the need for him to be begotten as the Son of God? Acts 13:33, which quotes from Psalm 2:7, indicates that Christ was begotten as the Son of God on the day of his resurrection. But was he not the Son of God before that day? Certainly he was. Nevertheless, he still needed to be begotten by resurrection because he had put on humanity. As to his divinity, there was no need for him to be begotten. But as to his humanity, there was the need for this. On the day of his resurrection, Christ's flesh was uplifted and transfigured into a glorious substance. This was the begetting in power by resurrection. This begetting was also the designation. In this way Jesus, the man in the flesh, was begotten and designated the Son of God. This is the end of today's morning revival.